It's great to see everybody here this morning. I'd like to say good morning to the fathers out there. If you came this morning expecting your typical Father's Day, we have biological fathers, but God's our Father in heaven. Lesson, you're not going to get that this morning. Sorry for that. Actually, the lesson that I am going to give to you this morning is actually not for you at all. I'd like to ask you for prayers on my behalf. I have not been the Christian that I need to be. I have not been doing the things in my life that makes God a priority in my life. And I'd like to ask you for prayers on my behalf. Humility is not my strong suit, and so asking for your prayers is not easy. But in studying for this lesson, I realized that I have not been putting God first in my life. And I gained so much from it. I hope that you can as well. But really, this lesson was for me. I hope that you can get something from it to make yourself a better Christian in your life. When I visited Cody, when I took Veda to San Jose for her orchestra concert, we visited my little brother Cody, and we went to church with him there. And there was an idea that was presented that I had never thought of before. I never had read the scripture the way that it was presented, and it got me thinking. It got me really seeking to understand the scripture more fully. And as I started reading that scripture and continuing on to read other scriptures, I realized that I didn't truly understand what the Bible said about this particular scripture. And so today we sang the song Seek Ye First, and that's definitely a part of the lesson. I didn't title the lesson what we're really going to talk about because I didn't want to give it away. But what does you have heard and first love, what do they have in common? Turn your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 21. And we're not going to read the whole text here, just the first couple of verses. But you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and whoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, and whoever shall say you fool shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. So the Israelites here, they were missing something, okay? And I want you to think about that. They were missing something. The conclusion, down in verse 48, it says, therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So Jesus is teaching here the Sermon on the Mount, and he goes through a list of different things. You have heard that the ancients were told. You have heard that it was said to do this and to do that. And then he goes in, but I tell you something different. There's something that they were missing. They were missing something. Turn your Bibles over to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, John speaking here to the church in Ephesus, beginning in verse 2, beginning, it says, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot endure evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance, and have endured for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the deed you did at first. So, what did they do? What was wrong? They fell, right? They left their first love. So what's the conclusion here? In verse 5, it says, remember, therefore, where you have fallen, and repent, and do the deed you did at first. They had something, and then they lost it. They were doing something, and then it was gone. In Matthew, they were doing something, but they weren't doing it right. They were missing something. What was it that they were missing? They were missing the spirit. They were missing the intent. They were missing the passion, the love for this lesson's sake. They were missing the embodiment of the spirit. That's what they were missing. So think about this idea of the Spirit. What is the Spirit? Turn your Bibles over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 and verse 1 beginning. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life is Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the spirit of flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in, through his Spirit who indwells you. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, indeed, we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. What is the Spirit? In verse 9, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God indwells you. The Spirit is the embodiment of Christ in our lives. That's what the Spirit is. The Spirit is Jesus Christ and the message that he delivered. That's what the Spirit is. And we have to have that in our lives. That's the embodiment. It controls us. If we look there in verse 5 beginning, it says, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, okay? So our minds are on the things of the Spirit. Our actions, our deeds are on the mind, are on the things of the Spirit, okay? Is this just action? Is this just deeds? Simon Sinek, famous author, great TED Talk. I encourage you to look at it if you have any desire business-wise. Wrote a book, Start With Why. And he does a TED Talk on this idea of Start With Why. And he created or just put together his thoughts called the Golden Circle. And you see the Golden Circle there on why, how, what. Okay? Simon says, everyone knows what they do. Some know how they do it, but few know why they do it. Why do you get out of bed in the morning? The Spirit is our why. That's what it needs to be. The Spirit needs to be our why. The what's happened, the what's come, but the why we do it, that's what we need to realize here. The Spirit has to be our why. It has to be our embodiment. We have to do the things because we're driven by the Spirit. He talks when he does his TED talk, he uses Apple as an example. He uses Martin Luther King, the Wright brothers. They had a why. So let's use Apple for a brief moment. Apple is a computer company. That's what they are. Computer manufacturer. Okay? That's what they do. They make things. They make it by putting together great packages. They have great software, great technology. They have great systems in place. That's how they do it. But why do they do it? Okay? The driving force behind them is because they want to succeed in what they do and produce great products. They just happen to produce computers and iPods and iPads and all these different things. And he uses another a contradiction to that is Gateway, right? What is Gateway? Gateway is just a computer company. There's no passion. There's no why behind them. They produce the same thing as Apple. But why is it that two different companies can have two totally different results? Think about that in your life. Why is it that some people have that passion, that drive, that love for Christ, and others don't? What's the driving force? What's the embodiment in your life? So the Spirit versus the Holy Spirit. Turn your Bibles over to John chapter 14. For those of you that were in our Bible class this morning, I threatened Mike because he was starting to preach my lesson for me. So at least half of you will have not heard this morning. But John chapter 14, beginning in verse 23, it says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." So, if you happen to work in an environment where safety standards are required, whether it be a warehouse or on the job, hazardous things, you've probably been delivered a safety manual. And I want you to think about the Spirit and the Holy Spirit like the safety manual, okay? The Holy Spirit is the safety manual itself. It is the deliverer of the message. The message is the Spirit. It's the things that are in the safety manual, okay? So the Holy Spirit has delivered us the message. He has given us the word. We have understanding through the teachings. We have been delivered the message. The Spirit is the message. Christ and Him crucified. That's what it is. And that's the embodiment that we have to have. Now go back to the comparison to safety. Okay? If you are given a safety manual and you do nothing with it, what impact does it have on your safety at work? Nothing. It has nothing. If you do nothing with the safety manual, it has no effect on your ability to be safe at work. You may have some understanding of safety because maybe your friend over here told you, hey, you need to make sure that you don't lift the box this way or that way. You need to make sure you do this. So maybe you have some influence on your safety because you have friends that told you something. But you never really read the safety manual. You don't know what it says because you never opened it up to read it. You were never delivered the message of the safety manual. Is that how you live your godly life? Do you not open the Bible and read the message that's been delivered to you by the Holy Spirit so that it can affect your ability to live a godly life? If you do open the safety manual and you read through it, but you decide, I don't like doing it that way because I've always done it this way, and this way is easier for me to do it, so I'm going to do it this way. Are you doing the things that the safety manual has told you to do to be a proper, safe person? No. Is that how you live your spiritual life? You don't like doing the things that are said over here, so you're not going to do those, but you'll do everything else. Safety is a habit. Safety is a thing. So we're going to call it here, we're going to say doing safe. Okay? When you do safe, you just do it naturally. It just is a part of you, it's an embodiment of you. So it doesn't matter what situation comes about, whether you're lifting a box or driving a forklift, it doesn't matter. When you read and understand what the safety manual says and you take the message and you put it in your being, you are going to do safe. In each and every situation. When you're in a goggle zone, you're going to put your goggles on. When you're in a earplug zone, you're going to put your earplugs on. When you go to lift a box, you're going to do it appropriately. When you do safe, you understand and you apply the message that's been delivered by the safety manual. That's what we need to do with Christ. When we do godly living, when we live a godly way, we embody the Spirit. It becomes us and it controls us. That's what the Spirit does. So, John chapter 15 in verse 1, just the same page over. I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciple. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. We are the branches. Do you think that an orange tree gets to have one branch that produces apples? Do you think that a pear tree gets to have one branch that produces limes? That's not what happens. We have to be a part of the vine in order to produce the fruit. It needs to be a part of us. We have to have that driving force to produce the right fruit. And if we don't produce fruit at all, then guess what happens? We're cut off. Thrown away, thrown in the fire. Are we producing the right fruit and the right quantities in our life? Do we have the Spirit as our why? Is that the driving force behind us? Is that what makes us do the things that we do? So what is the Spirit? What is this? Go ahead, you can say it. Breakfast. Candy. Okay, this is candy. So when you think of candy, what do you think of? Sugar. Go ahead, you can say, you can speak. What? Cavities. Halloween. Okay, calories. Hyper kids. Okay. What is this? A piñata. When you think of a piñata, what do you think of? Candy. When you think of a piñata, you think of candy. Why is that? Because you can't have a piñata without having candy. It's nothing. A box with paper mache or paper whatever it is on it. It's nothing without what's inside. Turn your Bible over to Galatians chapter 5. This is the verse that truly made me start to think about the Spirit. Truly started to make me question my understanding of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is this. This is the fruit of the Spirit. It's the piñata. What makes it up is this. The love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. When you have the fruit of the Spirit, you get love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. When you have the Spirit as your why, the what's become love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. That's what happens. So all too often we hear, oh, you need to be seeking love. Oh, you need to be seeking joy. Oh, you need to be seeking peace. No. You need to be seeking the Spirit. And if you have the Spirit, you'll produce love. You'll produce joy and peace and patience. If you have the Spirit, you'll be gentle and kind. If the Spirit is your why, your what's will show it. If the Spirit is your driving force, then your actions will be a godly life. Is the Spirit your why? Or is the flesh? In verse 16. But I say to you, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Look there. It's a contrast. One or the other. You don't get both. You don't get to live your life half in, half out. You either have the Spirit or you have the flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Is the flesh your why? My passion, my desires, my good. I want this. Is that my why? We look at this verse. We look at this verse here and we say, oh, well, you know, I don't have impurity. I don't commit adultery. I don't believe in sorcery. Sometimes I'm jealous, but that's okay. I don't do it that often. Sometimes I have some outbursts of anger, but not very often. You either are living by the Spirit or living by the flesh. You can't have both things. So if these things are in your life, then you're living by the flesh. The flesh is your why, because your what's are showing to be the case. We have to seek the Spirit so that our what's are love, joy, peace. That's what we have to do. We need the Spirit to be the guiding force in our life, not the flesh. So how do we get the Spirit? How do we make sure that we get the Spirit to embody our driving force, for it to be our why? Well, in Matthew chapter 6, in the song that we sang before the lesson, says in verse 33, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We have to seek God first over ourselves. We're told to take up our cross and bear our cross. It's not our own desires and our own passions that we have to live. It's God's. And if we seek the Spirit first, if we seek God's will, then other things in our life are going to be fruits of His labor. fruits of what he has said we need to do in our lives. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, "Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so." Do you open up your Bible? Do you read from the word that God has given to you? Have you taken your safety manual out and said, "Man, I need to know how to do this," and sought the answer in the word of God? Have you used this as an instructing tool in your life? Because if not, then we're not seeking, we're not receiving the word with eagerness. We're not diligently, actively desiring God's will. We need to make sure that we are looking to have the Spirit be our why. Turn your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. First Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24, it says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. And everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly after I have preached to others, I myself shall be disqualified." Paul here is telling us that it's a race. It's a long distance run, and we need to be prepared for it. Each and every day we train up ourselves. How often do we go to the gym for 5 hours a week, or maybe 3 hours a week, or maybe you don't go to the gym at all, maybe you don't watch what you eat, maybe you do. But how often do we take care of our physical bodies to make sure that it's nourished, to make sure that it's healthy and strong? Do we do the same with our spiritual body? Do we make sure that we're spiritually fed? Do we make sure that we're practicing and tuning up our spiritual bodies? If we're not, then the why is not the spirit, but rather the flesh. Are you making sure that your work deeds and that all the things that you have in your life are taken care of, but you're not planning for your spiritual life? Are you not taking care of the things in your spiritual life like you do in your physical life? That's something that we have to watch out for. Here's one for you. How often do you make sure that your kids do their homework? That they go to school, that they get their education? How often do you make sure that this physical life we prepare our children for, but we don't prepare our children for the spiritual life, for the most important thing that they could ever do in their life, and that's to serve and love God? Do we make sure that we take care of their physical attributes, their physical things, but not their spiritual attributes and things? The theme this year, God's way, love it and live it. That's how we can get the Spirit. By loving God's way, by loving the word that he has given to us, by understanding it, and then by living it. When you do safe, it doesn't matter what situation comes up. You're going to react and respond in the way that you have been attuned to. When you do godly living, it doesn't matter what situation comes up. You're going to be attuned to it, and you're going to do the right thing the right way. It's a result. It's a what, because we have the right why. So are you seeking the Spirit? In John chapter 14, verse 7 beginning, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." And Jesus said, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Otherwise, believe on account of the works themselves. Truly I say to you, whoever believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. As Christ was in the Father, we need to be in Christ. Are we seeking to have Christ, the Spirit, as our why? What he delivered to us. Jesus is the message. Jesus is the Spirit and the why that we need to have in our lives. He came to this earth. He lived as a man, as we read in Romans, as a man that the flesh is imperfect, but he came, he conquered it, and he died on the cross, overcoming sin, so that we could have a hope of eternal life, delivering us the truth and the Spirit that we need to live by. We need to seek him first to be that driving force in our life. In Matthew chapter 25, and this is the last verse that we'll read this morning, Matthew chapter 25, cutting into context here in verse 34, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick and in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even to the least of them, you did it to me. Father, when did we see you hungry, sick, or weak? Listen. You never saw me hungry, sick, or weak, but the Spirit was your why, and your what produced the fruits that make you a true worshiper of mine. That's what Jesus said. Because you sought after me, and you sought to have the Spirit be your why, you did these things. These were the fruits that you had. Is that what we're doing in our life? Are we truly seeking the Spirit, or are we seeking the flesh? Because you can't have both. It's one or the other. What is your why? Now's the time that we have an opportunity to stand and sing a song. Now's the time when the invitation is had. Now's the time for you to take a moment to reflect on your life. To think, am I living my life the way God would want me to live? Am I living the Spirit as my why? If you're not, pray for yourself. Ask God for forgiveness. Ask God to help you make the Spirit your why. You're not strong enough to do it on your own? Ask somebody else to pray with you. Ask somebody else to pray for you. You want everybody to pray for you? You can come forward and we'll all pray for you. Now's the time to make your life right. As I started off, humility is not my strong suit. Walking down, coming in front and asking people to forgive, to pray for you, that's not easy to do. But if you're struggling in your life, you need to ask somebody. So ask somebody, seek one of the elders, ask somebody to pray with you, to pray for you. Because it's important. If we don't live with the Spirit as our why, then we're not going to make it to heaven. We're going to be like the ones on the left who say you're condemned because you didn't have the fruits of the Spirit. If you want to be baptized, we can do that now too. You can come down, you can ask, and we can baptize you. Again, if you are afraid, you don't want to do that, you can ask somebody after we're done. You can say, I want to be baptized. What does it take to be baptized? What do I need to do? We can do that now. Now is the time to make sure that you get your life right with God. We're here to help and encourage and love one another and teach one another. That's what we're here to do. If you need help in any way, ask for it. If you need to pray to God and ask for His help to straighten out your life and you want to repent, pray to God now. Now's the time to do so.